Good afternoon and welcome to Live Well Lifestyle with Perry A. I'm your hostess for the next 30 minutes as we talk about life and how to relieve stress in our life, because oftentimes stress can manifest in your body as illness and dis-ease, and it can override medicines and all sorts of healing. So if we can reduce our stress, and a lot of stress comes from relationships. If you're a parent, you know you want the best for your children and you want them to be perfect. So we're constantly kind of picking on them and tuning them and guiding them, and sometimes we don't use the best approach. So today we're going to talk about skillful marrowing. So how do you marrow something? There are two kinds of mirroring. You can mirror abusive negativity by focusing and reflecting the mistakes and flaws with judgments and criticisms. Then there is the positive love mirroring, choosing to look for the best in others, praise their wins, and see them as you want them to be. So my intention is today, it starts with, the way I see a person is the way they'll be for me. I intend to see and reflect the best in others. I tend to look for their strengths and abilities, to see and appreciate their unique gifts, to allow them to be more than they appear to be at this moment. If you have little children, you know, they still haven't figured out how to reach across the table without knocking a glass of milk over. And it's frustrating when you're tired and you have a lot on your plate to have to stop and clean up after them all the time. And then we sort of yell and say, can't you do anything right? And so they live up to that thought. Positive mirroring is one of the greatest attributes of love. The power to love allows us to view people and ourselves with affirming force. It affirms the correctness of their wish to be happy. It affirms our essential oneness with them. Moreover, it reflects both to ourselves and others the unlimited possibilities available to us as human beings. So let's talk about that a little bit. One summer, I took a sabbatical, and I went off, and my intention was to just let go of the material world. I didn't have any clocks. I was on the river in a little cabin. No TV. I had some books to read, and I covered up all the clocks. So I just let myself go on my own time and listen to my body. And if I was sleepy, I'd took a nap or went to bed, and if I wanted to take a walk in nature, I did. If I wanted to swim in the river, I did. If I wanted to sit in the swing and meditate and just think and contemplate, I did. I chose to be alone and to not communicate with other people at this time, because I really wanted to spend about 3 days going inside and getting in touch with me. And one day I was out walking, and this little kid came by on his bike, and he laid his bike on the side of the road, and he started walking down the river. He did ask me, he said, have you seen two girls come this way? And I kind of pointed to the direction they went, and he took off after them. And I thought he was a little young to be turned loose on the river. I was thinking, what if he fell in? But this was a shallow part of the river where you could walk across, and it had a solid rock bottom. And so he went down the road. Now, the day before, he had, and some other boys had been riding their bikes. And as they went off down the road, this lady came up, and she was hollering at him. She said, Ryan, Ryan, come back here. Now, I didn't know which one Ryan was, because she was hollering at the whole pack. And she was marching down the road. She had her fist doubled, and she was jaw set, and she was stomping mad, you know. And she kept hollering at Ryan, and finally one of them responded. Well, the next day, this little boy that I assume was Ryan is who I saw go down the river. And shortly after that, I heard this lady coming down the road, and here she was again, the same lady, her fist double, her jaw set, marching down the road very fast and determined, hitting the road hard with each step and yelling, "Ryan, Ryan, come back here." I pointed the direction he had gone, and she took off down the river after him. A little bit, she came back, and Ryan again was about 2 leagues ahead of her. And he was going down the road, and she said, "Ryan, get out of the middle of the road." He said, "I'm not in the middle of the road." And she said, "Yes, you are. Get out of the middle of the road." And they're having this argument about the middle of the road. And it occurred to me, she didn't know how to say it. "Ryan, honey, you're so smart. You're such a smart little boy. I know you would know what would happen if a car came around the corner there and you were standing there in the road. What might happen? Well, I might get hit." Said, "Yes, you're so smart. I know you can figure out where to put yourself that you wouldn't be in harm's way." And then when you did, she did, she could say, "Ryan, your teachers are just going to love you when you get to school because you figure out how to do things right. And I'm so proud to have you as a son." Instead, she followed him around, yelling what not to do, negative thoughts, not inspiring him to think and make good judgments. And her greatest wish is to preserve him, to keep him from harm. You know, if she could pickle him and put him on a jar of the shelf and watch him grow, that would suit her just fine, because her love was wanting to protect him, but she was smothering him and not teaching them to make wise decisions. So there's so many different ways to approach something when a child is doing something wrong. Wow. Can you think of another way to do that you wouldn't be in harm's way? And allow them to come up with an answer, because they know more than you think they do. And then praise them when they do, and they'll start thinking more and realizing sometimes I have to be aware when I may be in danger and make a good choice. So by your example, you can encourage them to do it differently. And also what comes into play is monkey see, monkey do. Because little children are just little role models after their parents or whoever they are around. They look up to, and that's how they learn. And if you get all uptight and shout and get angry and mad and stomp and walk off, guess what they learn to do when they grow up? They're going to mimic you. They're going to mimic you. You know, if you get mad and say a word that you shouldn't say, they hear it. But they hear it with the emotion behind it. They have no idea what it means, but when that emotion time hits, they'll repeat the word, and then they get in trouble for doing what they learned from an adult. So if we can be more mindful and aware of the pattern that we're setting before them, anytime we get upset or angry, start yelling, whether it's at another person or you're in the car driving, you're teaching them that principle and valued and way to handle life. And is that really what you want them to do? And it's hard sometimes. My brother, my oldest brother, when he would get mad, he would get in trouble if he used a bad word. So he would say, "Oh, rainwater." And he would say it with so much emphasis, "Oh, rainwater." You know, and he would just get his anger out saying, "Oh, rainwater," instead of, "Oh, my God," or some damn or bad word that he shouldn't be saying. So what a great gift to teach your children when you get mad and upset to say, "Oh, rainwater," and say it with emphasis. It's so that you're letting out that anger and releasing it. And then you can say, "Well, it sounds like something's going on. Can't you want to tell me about it?" And let them open up to you and express what their frustration is. And then see if you can lead, guide, and direct them into a different way of handling that frustration. Because that's what we're really here for, is to guide them. not to make them little perfect images of ourselves. And, you know, if you're a pianist, your children will probably grow up playing the piano, right? And if you're a scientist, your kids will grow up knowing all about insects and snakes and bugs and all sorts of scientific things. So we influence our children in that way. It's monumental, the influence we have on the children. So if we can calm down during the holidays and not get all frustrated and just say, oh, rainwater, or say jingle bells. Jingle bells. Ugh! Jingle bells. You know, find something funny and then you kind of feel silly and you kind of laugh and is it so bad? And is that line you waited in? I know it's frustrating to wait in line, but what if that kept you from being in an accident down the road and it was perfect timing to hold you up until whatever obstacle may have been there cleared? You know, you can never know those things. And I drew some power cards. It's amazing how you can get these cards that are just aligned with your subject. And one is, my life is a mirror. The people in my life are really mirrors of me. It affords me the opportunity to grow and change. And what that means is what I see in others is something in myself I either like or I dislike. And so when I'm judging them and being critical, I get to look at where I do the same thing, only differently. It's just a reflection back at you. You wouldn't recognize it if you weren't doing it too. And maybe you've cleared up your act a little bit, but you used to be that way. And that's what it's bringing up for you. So, being aware that when I have a judgment about someone else, and then looking at how you do it. I have a mastermind group, and each month we meet and we make a special request. And the other people, there are four of us, and they reflect for us their vision of us as if we have already received our request. And mine last month was to be a better listener, particularly in regards to my children. Because sometimes I listen to them with my answers running, my fixing answers. You know, we want to fix the problem. We want everybody to be happy. Can I just fix it? And I don't really hear what they're saying because I'm looking for a patch or a fix it. And sometimes we just want to hear ourselves vent our frustration. And if you just listen and say, oh my, well, how did that make you feel? Well, what do you intend to do about that? But don't jump in and give them solutions. Let them come to their solutions. You can gently guide them. And, you know, how did that make you feel? How would you rather feel? Do you want to carry that around, that anger and that madness at that person around, or could you let it go? And have you ever done anything wrong? You know, and we all have. So when we can kind of be in the awareness that life is a mirror and what you're seeing out there is a reflection of some part of you, and sometimes it's something we need to fix in ourselves. And sometimes when we see the good in people, we're seeing the good in ourselves. And I hope you've come to that realization that you're just wonderful and there is so much good in you. I drew a soul card, and it's sort of in alignment with this. The soul card was believe. Believe in yourself. Have faith in magic and miracles. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Have faith in magic and miracles. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. So whatever your positive thoughts are, that's leading you to positive results. If you give up, the opportunities go away. Your soul wants you to know, one of the secrets of the universe is the power of belief. If you're able to imagine and truly believe that something can happen, miracles will unfold. Expectations can act in both positive and negative ways, and your fixed thoughts and opinion about yourself have created your world and your experiences. I'm going to read that again. Your fixed thoughts and opinions about yourself have created your world and your experiences. If you've had an unpleasant history, this often creates negative beliefs about yourself and the world around you. Know that the past doesn't need to equal the future. Your new positive conceptions can create a fresh and exhilarating future. Simply believe that it's possible. Visualize and imagine your life as you desire it to be. And most important, feel how good it will be and hang on to that for a great ride. I am, I always post my notes on these, and I just really love that. If you've had a pleasant history, if you've had a pattern of drawing the wrong people in your life, I know many people who like to, we're pretty codependent. We want to fix people. We want everybody to be happy if we're a pleaser personality. And so we're constantly trying to fix people. So what do we draw to us? People who need fixing. People who need taking care of. If we're a caretaker, we will draw people who need us. You know, if I had a prayer, it would be spare me from the need to be needed. So the past does not equal the future. So that was your past. You can change it today. You can let go of the need to fix and the need to caretake. And if you see the people differently, if you see them able to figure out their own way and take the right steps they need to take for themselves, this is their journey. And if you fix everything for them every time, how are they going to learn to do it for themselves? And sometimes we have to go down some bumpy roads and give some tough love and cut people off and say, I'm sorry, I can't help you this month. You're going to have to figure out another way. And the word no is a great incentive. No, a lot of times will make people so mad that they will get up and do it themselves. I know a lot of times I'll ask for somebody to help me with something, and if they keep forgetting and they don't, I'll finally just go out there and do it myself. I figure out how to do it myself. And so the word no doesn't mean I don't love you. The word no means I'm not your source of supply at this moment. And imagine them learning how to take care of themselves. See them. You know, you weren't perfect when you were a child, and look how far you've come. So credit people with the ability to figure out their own problems. You can empathize with them and feel sorry for them, but say, you know, what your answer should say, I'm sorry about your situation, but you know, I know you're a strong person of good values, and you'll figure a way how to overcome this obstacle, and it'll be better for you in the long run. You're smart, you're intelligent, you're wise, and you're kind. So you're reflecting for them their strengths when they're in kind of a crisis situation. And we all make some bad mistakes sometimes. And you'll figure out a way to overcome it. And there's always a solution. Never, ever, ever give up hope. There's always a solution. Maybe if you have I've had people with death threats the doctors have given them that have lived. We had a gentleman with cirrhosis of his liver, and he had 5% of his liver left functioning, and the doctors told him to go home and get his affairs in order and say his goodbye. He had 6 months to live. Well, he had heard about a solution. It was actually the clay, and he started drinking a cup of clay 3 times a day. And in 6 months, his liver had grown back 30%. His hepatitis C was gone. They couldn't find any sign of it anymore. So for him, there was a solution. It's when we give up hope that we go. And sometimes it's our time to go. And maybe someone was in an accident. We can't hold on to people forever. You know, life is temporary, so make the best of each day and each moment. And though it seems unfair when we lose children or people who are young and still vital, it's like the older ones, you think, well, you don't have much longer to live anyway. We don't live forever. Not here on earth, we don't. But I do believe we live in the spiritual realm forever. And that there we can go back and forth and visit and be with people. There's a new book out. I highly recommend it. It's 10 Things Dead People Want You to Know. And it's deeply moving, and it's funny in spots, and it's very rewarding to know that they are aware of where you are. And I actually had a lady one time, they asked me to come and talk at this church, and I felt a little sacrilegious giving my Cajun stories in church. Not that the Cajun stories were bad, it was just that, you know, maybe I should have been spouting scriptures instead of Cajun humor to make my points. And the little preacher, and the reason I was there was she had fallen and broken her hip, and she couldn't stand and deliver her message. And she looked over at me, and she said, "Do you deliver messages?" And I thought, well, I think I just did. And she said, "I think you do, but you're not aware of it." And she said, "While you were talking, there was a gentleman over your right shoulder. He was older. He had wire-rimmed glasses, a burr haircut, and he had a carved cane." And she described my dad before he died. He had gotten sick and been in and out of bed, and it was hard to do his hair, so he just got a burr haircut, and he had wire-rimmed glasses, and he had a cane that was carved. So there you have it. Now, I choose to have nobody in that church knew me. One lady had heard me speak and give my talk, but she knew nothing about my family. And the lady also told me my daughters were going to be just fine. So I don't know what you want to call it, but I feel the spiritual presence of my dad being with me, and she said he was just laughing up a storm, and that just gave me such satisfaction. And so I know when I go talk, I take him with me. I'm conscious of aware that he's there with me. So I kind of got off my track a little bit here, and I do want to always open up to questions. Get back over here to my page and see if anybody has submitted any questions. I don't see any here. None today. Well, we don't usually have questions on subjects like this. There is another piece that I found. It was a Divine Wisdom card. It says, "As I say yes to life, life says yes to me. Life mirrors my every thought. As I keep my thoughts positive, life brings to me only good experiences." I want to cut that out and stick it in, on my computer every day to remind me that, remind me of that. As I keep my thoughts positive, life brings only good experiences to me. You know, when you focus on something, that's what you draw to you. What you focus on, it's like a magnet. So if I focus on the weakness of some of people, I will draw weak people to me. If I have the desire to fix and heal and take care of people, I will draw people to me who can't take care of themselves, who need taking care. And, you know, it's fun to help for a little while, but after a while it gets old, and then we get frustrated and we don't have time to take care of ourselves, and we get in that cycle of spiraling downward. Now, I'm going to see if anyone has a question, anyone on the phone has a question they'd like to ask. If you do, if you press star 2 on your phone, and I know a lot of people don't like to ask a question over the airways with other people listening in, so you're always free to call me on my private line anytime you want to discuss something. And so I do have one here. Good morning. Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Hi. I have a question. I would like to start giving the clay to my cat.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know how much. How much should I give them?
Well, you give them about a teaspoon in their food, mixed in their food, of the mass, the 1-to-3 ratio like you put on yourself topically.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can pour a little of the liquid over there, and a couple of tablespoons of the liquid. They're big cats.
Okay.
Give them an ounce. And if they're
they're about 12-year-old, so they're mature.
Yeah, I'd give them about an ounce of the liquid poured over their food, or you can give them a teaspoon of the mass stirred into their food, either one.
Oh,
okay.
Once a day, or?
With every time you feed them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you. That's all I wanted to ask.
Okay. Well, people keep coming onto this seminar with clay questions, and I love that the clay is that predominant in everyone's mind. So, well, thank you for that question. And in closing, my closing thought is that children reflect the image that they have of others and the perceptions they learn through personal experiences. Monkey see, monkey do. What example are you setting for your children? Particularly at Christmas time when life is kind of stressful. So think about that you are the teacher and the role model, and they are looking up to you. So everything you do, do it with grace, do it coming from love, and do it with joy in your heart. Play some happy music this time of year. If you get down, if you start thinking about loved ones that you've lost, know that they're right there with you. They're just not here in the physical form. And you can consult with them and ask them questions. So look for those magical moments because you created them. I'm going to end with one little story. My daughter used to watch Jeannie on TV. I forgot, I Dream of Jeannie or something about Jeannie. And the genie was, you know, would make magical wishes and stuff have come true. Well, her way of believing was say, genie, genie, please be there. So if she was going somewhere and she wanted something, or she lost something, or if she wanted to go to someone's house, she'd say, genie, genie, please be there. Genie, genie, please be there. And then they'd be there and she'd say, wow, look, genie really works. Well, guess who created Jeannie and the thought of doing that? She did. So she should have said, wow, I can really do this. It's because she had the thought, and even if she believed it through Jeannie, she was the creator of the thought, and she made the magic moment for what happens. Now, my grandson wants an iPad 2, which are very expensive, and it's out of my budget. But I don't want him to give up, and I keep saying, okay, Jack, if you want it bad enough and you keep holding the thought that you can have it, there'll always be a solution. What are you willing to do to contribute to getting it? I can give you some money for Christmas, and then you can start earning money. You can ask other people to give you cash for Christmas because you want to put it toward the iPad. If you really, really want it, you'll figure out a way to get it. Maybe not today or tomorrow or this Christmas. It may be afterwards, but don't ever quit hoping for something. And so that's my wish for you. Don't ever quit hoping for something. When you lose hope, there's a black veil, and we no longer try. We no longer offer. Always believe and put your positive self forward. So go forth, play some jolly Christmas music, get some cheer, a pep in your step, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. This is Perry A. signing out and wish you stressful, love-filled days ahead of you. Thank you and have a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I will see you next year. Bye-bye.